What's up, everyone? It's Ezra here at Moto247, and welcome back to the Moto247 show. In today's episode, Tom Woodford and I will be discussing the first two rounds of the Supercross season at Anaheim and Oakland. It's been a pretty crazy championship, to say the least, especially in the 450 class, so we're going to dive in and talk about all the craziness that's happened so far. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoy. And I also want to give a big shout-out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps, MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well, at Blood Lubricants. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram. Hit that follow button and click that link in the bio.
And we're back after, it seems like it hasn't been so long since this last Supercross season, but we're back and the racing, I think, is more entertaining than last year for sure. Can't wait to dive into the first two rounds.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's really exciting to get back. I can't wait to talk more racing. And, man, what a year so far we've had. Way to start off the season. It is absolute madness, in my opinion. You know, with all the riders and how fast everybody is, and it's tough to pick who's going to win, you know, race to race. So be a really interesting podcast, to say the least.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like every year, like I've been doing this podcast, I think, since the end of 2019. So it's been some time, you know, we've covered a lot of races, and it seems like I'm always saying how stacked the field is and just how crazy competitive it is. But this year it's like, holy moly, like, especially in the 4th, there's like a good 10 guys or so that could win it on any given night. And if you were to ask me a couple weeks ago, if I would have thought that Bam Bam would have had the red plate going into round three and Anderson getting a win, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But, you know, here we are. Like, no offense to those guys. Anderson, you know, killed it, former champion. But just, yeah, kind of unpredictable.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. I mean, it's a total crapshoot for those of you out there that are playing RM Fantasy. There's never been a year like this. That's for sure. I think we can all agree on that. You go back to Anaheim 1, you know, I know RM Fantasy is only 450 as far as RM Fantasy is concerned, but let's get into the 250s a little bit. It was pretty impressive. Obviously, Christian Craig, I mean, he's coming out swinging, man. I mean, just leading the pack and dominating, in my opinion. And I'm sure I share that opinion with a lot of people. What's your thoughts on Christian Craig coming out this year, just, you know, laying the hammer down?
He's definitely looking really good. And I wish, well, obviously, I don't know, no one getting hurt, but I just wish Jet was, you know, racing the West Coast, because I think that would be like really good battles there. And it's really unfortunate to see that. And then Colt Nichols going down. But, you know, Christian Craig's been really on it this year. It's looking like it's, you know, his title to lose at this point. And we're only two rounds in, but still, you know, like, there's guys like Mosman, Shimoda in there. But I don't know. Like, they just don't look like as good as Craig does, for sure.
Yeah, Christian Craig's definitely setting the pace right now. You know, hopefully he can keep it all together and, you know, really, you know, own this championship. I think, you know, it may be, it's definitely a little bit early to say this, but man, if I'm going to lay my money on the table, I'm definitely going Christian Craig.
Yeah, for sure. At this point, I think you kind of have to, but I actually forgot about Hunter Lawrence, but still, like, I was just watching a clip with him, like probably 30 minutes ago now. And they're just talking about how, like, good of a rider he is, obviously, but, like, how he's getting really bad starts right now. And then you see him the last, like, 2-3 minutes of the main, you know, creep in the picture, creep into the top five or top three like he did in Anaheim there, as he got, I think, the third place. You know, he passed March Banks for third, I believe, Anaheim there. But, you know, he's just creeping in at the last minute. And And I'm just curious to see if he was to get a good start right there with Christian, would he be battling with him, or, you know, faster, slower, whatever. But yeah, it's kind of stinks when he's so far back, you know, buried back in the pack early on.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Hunter, he's made some good comebacks, man. I mean, if you're talking strictly points, I mean, Oakland, he was second, right? Second place, and Anaheim, he got third, and he came back. So the boys got fight. You can't take that away from him. I don't think anybody can. You know, those Hunter, the Lawrence brothers really put it all out on the line. And of course, yeah, I was super excited to see Jet coming into the West Coast. You know, my wife was super bummed out. She wanted to see Jet take this whole season, as I think a lot of our listeners do. But you know, and you know, you always wonder, you know, with Christian Craig, as fast and as solid as he is, what would have happened had Jet have made his appearance, you know? But you know, everything happens, and it's motocross, or I'm sorry, supercross. So it happens, man. And this is the name of the game. So unfortunately, he's going to be, or unfortunately he's not in West Coast. He will be over in East Coast. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think Hunter's doing a pretty damn good job holding the title for the Lawrence brothers.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of people see Christian doing good, and think he's going to win it all, and which, you know, obviously we're both saying he's looking really good, you know, like just on point. But, you know, with Hunter getting two top threes, he's right there. You know, consistency is key when it comes to supercross and motocross, and only two rounds in. So if he starts, they could get better starts. And I'm looking down the list right now. We got Haymaker up there looking really good. Really much of him, except last year he actually with that win, and he had a couple good results last year. But then we got guys like Freezy, which it was a really interesting first race.
That is a topic that I think a lot of people are talking about now. You know, I think it depends on who you are as a person, or not as a person, but who you are as a race fan. Watching the races, I mean, you know, we have probably different opinions on that maybe, but I'll go ahead and I'll start it out. I mean, Vince Freezy, you know, my first initial reaction was he went from 450 back to 250. You know, is that a step backwards? I think so. I think it's a step back. You start questioning, you know, why is he moving backwards? And, you know, he did seem to go on the defense like really fast and was hard to pass, which of course you're a racer, so you're going to be hard to pass. But, you know, it almost felt like, you know, what's going on here? Why did he move back to the 250s? And those are questions that I'm sure a lot of us have. You know, so what's your opinion on it? I'm interested to hear, Ezra.
I'm just curious to see where he would end up in the 450s, because let me pull up the results real quick. Because it's so stacked, and you go down, is this Anaheim? Yeah, that's Anaheim 1. Okay, so I'm going down. His teammate Oldenburg is in 15th, and Ann's right there in 14th. Those are really good guys. Ferrandis had a really bad race. Hartrath is down there, McElrath. So I don't know if he just, you know, went down to 250 because how competitive it was in the 450 class, or just, you know, how stacked it was. And yeah, I don't know if he would be making mains consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Or what, but it's just funny. I was listening to a couple of interviews. One was with Craig. I don't know if it was the podium interview or what, but just I remember this from a couple of days ago. Him just saying how like I forgot like how he explained it, but just how he is around Freezy. How, you know, like you gotta really watch out. You can't leave any like any space, leave the door open at all, or, you know, be like Big Bam, but.
He and Bam Bam would get along well. I would love to see those two next to each other when they're contending for a podium position, you know.
Oh, for sure. And funny, there's in how he's matured and he had that one aggressive move already this year. So, you know, he's showing a true Bam Bam style, and he's not messing around with him. But
right,
yeah, with Freezy, yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see how he does, because he's right there, you know, battling with guys like Marchbanks and Mosman, just points-wise. Yeah, I think he's going to be up there more. But there's, like, honestly, I was thinking the East Coast is going to be really stacked. But looking at the list right now on the West Coast, like, there's a lot of good guys that just have to put it together. Like, Marchbanks has looked really good in the past. Everyone knows he got that W at Daytona. Was it 2019 on, when he was on Pro Circuit Kawasaki?
And yep. And
the club bike looks really good too. So who knows if he can, you know, crack in the, inside the top three and battle for a win or what. And Handmaker's looking really good too. And he's you know, he's been better and better. And Shimoda too. He had that nasty front flip in the whoops. So, but besides right. that, look on.
I would tell you before Anaheim won with the 250 team, I was my eyes were on Craig and Moseman, of course, you know, really hopeful for Shimoda. Really wanted to see him do well. Of course, Lawrence, you know, it's just almost just as stacked in the 250 class as it is in the 450 class, but not quite as stacked though, but still really good names. You know, pay attention to those 250s this year because anything can happen. We all know that with Supercross. So,
oh, for sure. And this, like the star class, the star team in the 250 East is going to be crazy with Martin. Cooper's, I think, up for the season. So, yeah, just they're going to look really good over there as well. And that whole team staff, as everyone knows, but. Talking about Star, seems like they've had a lot of bad luck lately. With Cooper getting hurt in December, and then Colton Nichols, like not even a few minutes into Anaheim, getting hurt, that nasty crash and the whoops there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. No, yeah, it's been fun watching those 250s come out. You know what I do enjoy watching too is the last chance qualifiers. I love watching last chance qualifiers because those guys let it all hang out, and we've seen some pretty crazy stuff happen in those LCQs for both 250 and 450, especially that last spot.
Yeah, like if I'm on the East Coast, and or both of us are on the East Coast. Yep. You know, it's means a really late night on Saturday night, but at least like if you go to bed, you gotta at least stay up for the last chance qualifiers. You know, it's gonna be some good entertainment for sure. And who was that? That like launched it in the whoops.
Do you remember?
Is that Brees or who was that? Yamaha.
I believe you're right. I don't have it up in front of me, unfortunately, but I know what you're talking about, as I'm sure a lot of the listeners do too. So I don't know if you want to talk 450 for the past two motos, past two events. And by the way, you know, I know we are supposed to start coming on every Tuesday to talk about the previous race. So I just want the listeners to know it's not going to be every two races. We're going to start getting into this every race, right? Oh.
That's our plan every week for sure. And then I want to have it on a set day every week. So if we do it Tuesday, it would be published Tuesday night. So that's the game plan. And I just, you know, it's kind of hard with all of our schedules, but Tuesday night is, you know, the goal for sure. And definitely want to do it every week. I actually had a plan for last week and just seemed like everyone just couldn't, you know, find the same time to sit down and do it. So.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it'll be a lot easier once we have a planned and set time, and I'm excited to get on with everybody and hear everybody's opinions so we can all get together. And I hope the listeners like that too, you know, some more consistency, and it'll be really, really fun. So 450s though, I'm excited to talk about this. So
450s, we're talking right before we started this, and I was just saying how, like, for fantasy wise, like, normally you kind of have an idea who's going to win. Like, obviously, it's not easy to pick them all right. That's why, you know, it's pretty competitive in fantasy groups. But it's like this year, I'm just sitting there staring at my phone. I was at a supercross party for A1. I was sitting there staring at my phone. I'm like, I don't know who to pick. Like, qualifying doesn't mean crap, you know? It kind of does. Like, you had an idea, but like, rock another qualifies good.
Let me give everybody a hint. This is something that everybody says, I'm sure. Every listener that plays RM Fantasy knows damn well that if you watch qualify, if you've made your picks, you then watch qualifying, you're then sitting there staring at your picks and you're going, oh boy, what do I do? Am I gonna change this top pick? Am I gonna change this guy, switch this guy out? He didn't do very well. Do I move him? Right. And then I hear this every time. Every time somebody's they go, I shouldn't have switched him. I shouldn't have switched him. Yeah, so, you know, stick with your gut. I'm just gonna tell this to everybody. Stick with your gut and you're probably gonna do better. but you know, who's the, who knows? Maybe you, maybe some of the listeners out there do better if they do pick after qualifying. I'm speaking for myself, I guess.
Yeah, like I don't even know what to do anymore. Like, I really haven't seen that much of qualifying. Just haven't had the chance to, like, before the race. I seen stuff after, but for like making fantasy picks, missed the time cutoff last week. Couldn't get my password in time. But besides that, like the first round, I'm just sitting there like I don't know what to do. And then for the wild card, I'm like I don't really know at this point. And my point, or I had like Tomac winning, he didn't win. And I'm like, there's so many guys that can win. There can be like 10 guys, and we have Anderson and Roczen so far, and there's like Tomac can win, possibly Barcia. Who knows with that? But yeah, there's a lot of other guys who can win, which makes it a lot. But if you guys haven't already, I think I made this fantasy group like a couple weeks ago. It's named Moto247 on Rocky Mountain Fantasy. We only have a few people in there right now, so if you want to go and add that to your groups and get in there, and probably will start doing prizes this week or the following week for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know it's exciting. It's a lot of fun. If you guys aren't on RM Fantasy, it's not too late. Please join. Anything can happen. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, the sooner you join, the more of a chance you have to win the prizes. So if you're not on there, rmfantasysx.com. And again, the group name, once you sign in, you have to log in, create an account if you don't have one already, and go to the groups section and add Moto247. And it's a lot of fun, like I said. Right now on Ezra's kicking butt. He's got 74 points. We got Jake Fuerst in second, myself in third, and Joey Crown is actually in on the group, and he's in fourth right now with 53 points. So there's more than that in there. I don't know if you want to go over each one, but please join. That's the main point of the message here. So join our group.
I was missing fantasy. I was on Rocky Mountain, I believe, last year, but not we didn't have our own group on there. But we stopped doing fantasy 2 years ago for the Moto247 stuff, and I really missed that. And I was thinking about bringing that back for this year. We did 250 West, East, and 450 classes on there, so it was a lot of fun, a lot of work for me. And I'm just like, it was like a week before Anaheim. I'm like, I really want to do fantasy, and I haven't had anything set up so far. So obviously, I really can't do my own. So I decided to make that Rocky Mountain, which it's still a lot of fun. And yeah, and hopefully I make better picks for next week. And even though I'm in the lead, my picks aren't that good. So yeah, you might have a doing good.
Again, you never know. I mean, you know, we have to talk about this too. I mean, you know, Ken Roczen comes out swinging in the first main, right? And obviously everybody had their eye on Sexton, right? So Chase Sexton comes out, and I mean, he looks real good, real fast. He, you know, goes he's right behind Kenny. He's clearly faster than Kenny is. Kenny does some defensive moves, keeps him at bay. And unfortunately, Chase Sexton ate it in one of the corners coming out behind Kenny, where I was pretty nervous he was gonna take Kenny. I'm a Ken Roczen fan. I love everything that he's done over the past year, so I'm just a huge fan of his. So of course I want to see him win. But Chase Sexton looked so good the other night. He went down, and it unfortunately put him back quite a ways. But you know, everybody had the eye on Chase Sexton for next week, the following week in Oakland. So you know, I it's anybody's game. And of course, Ken Roczen, when we came back to Oakland, he fell back. He finished what did he finish? He finished in 13th, unfortunately. He had a bad wreck in qualifying or a practice, I believe. Had a bad wreck in practice and went down during the main event, unfortunately. So that set him back a bit. But do you think that Ken Roczen is, you know, is he going to have an upward trajectory this year? Is it going to be, you know, classic Ken Roczen where he wins and goes, you know, falls back in the pack and, you know, works his way back up, and he's kind of a roller coaster? What do you think is going to happen this year? Do you think he's going to get it back and put some wins in or podiums in, or do you think he's going to be kind of all over the map?
I don't know. It's like ever since his arm injury, it's been a roller coaster ride for him. Then with all the illnesses he's been having, and then which he's really, like, as we talked about before, like, he's really cool with letting everyone know what's going on with him, all the injuries, all the stupid things that are bugging him. And I know a lot of people talk crap about that, and we've talked about this for a while. But for anyone who hasn't seen this video, I'll play it. This is Ken a couple weeks before Anaheim. Brief. I don't know how loud this is on the speaker. But
go on.
It doesn't sound like a person.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He was really, really sick, apparently. You know, and of course, right, that's kind of the controversy, right? I follow him, of course. I'm a fan of his. So, you know, a lot of people were commenting on it, you know, like, come on, Kenny, another excuse, you know, another excuse. And it is true to an extent, right? He does have issues, but he is telling people what his issues are, as opposed to the opposite, where he keeps it all in, doesn't tell people about any of the issues he's having, which apparently some people would prefer. I personally do like that he keeps everybody apprised as to what his issues and what's ailing him, because it lets us know the human side of racing. You know, he's only human, so. He had those issues coming into it. A lot of people thought those were excuses, and I honestly loved that he came out and won the race, you know. So it kind of put everybody like, oh, okay, he can say that, and then he comes out and still wins. So you know, maybe there's hope for him winning a championship in Supercross after all.
Yeah, and like, who knows with all the inconsistency in the class right now, except for Barsha going 3-3 and somehow having the red plate right now. But you know, the points are super tight. I don't have it up in front of me, but I know like the top six or something are like pretty close. But yeah, with him, who knows what's going to happen? I think he surprised himself a lot. Like hearing him after he pulled off the track, like I forgot exactly what he said, but it was something like, oh my God, I really did it. Like,
yeah.
Expecting that at all after the crazy December he had, not riding really that much at all. And then, you know, fast forward to the main event, and then Sexton was all over him, like you said, and he looked really good. And a lot of people had to pick, you know, Sexton for their fantasy win in Oakland, but, you know, from that performance in Anaheim. But, yeah, he looked really good and had that one mistake. Then, as he said in an interview, his second mistake, that crash in the whoop section, was just him riding, you know, on promotion. So, trying to get back there. But, yeah, yeah. He looked really good. But Brock, just, he looked good. He didn't look, like, crazy fast or anything, but he just got the job done. He did exactly what he needed to do. Yeah, I'm for Roxon, a huge Roxon fan, but yeah, hopefully he can, you know, stay somewhat consistent. Like even if he isn't at his peak that he was maybe a couple months ago, or you know, leading in before the illness. You know, hopefully he can, you know, settle for a fourth or fifth. But it's kind of hard right now when everyone is so fast and so close together. And then kind of the same thing for Adam. Like Adam, you know, he announces injury. Can't talk. He announced that a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how he's like, I don't know why riders are so secretive when it comes to all that stuff, you know. So it's kind of cool. He updated everyone as well, and it just really shows. You know, he got a really good start in both races, and just dropped back, and it's, you know, really unfortunate to see with him too.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree more. The I think when I think back to, you know, RM Fantasy and the picks and everything, you know, I'm guilty of it just like everybody else, where, you know, of course, all of my friends, our group of friends that hang out and we watch all the races together, or at least we're over the phone. One of my buddies actually came back in, Ricky from Utah. He was actually home for the last race in Oakland. And we have our little feuds, right? Just like I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. They're huge Tomac fans. I'm the only lone Roxon fan in the group, so of course I get picked on quite a bit. But Roxon won that first race, so I was, you know, giving him grief the whole week, just picking on him, you know. And then Chase, we all saw Chase and what he did in round one. And then he came back, you know, everybody in the next moto for Oakland was expecting, you know, Chase to win. A lot of people put him in first. What did he ended up placing ninth. Unfortunately, he was having some trouble in the moto as well. But I mean, that just goes to prove how stacked it is. But anyways, the fact is that a lot of people put him in first because they saw that ride and they were impressed by it. Right. I had put Ken in first, and I put Chase in second. And I know, I believe you, Ezra, you had put Chase in first, and we'd all put Chase. Everybody else put Chase in first. Yes.
Yeah, it seemed like everyone.
Because we saw his ride, right? So I'm gonna coin this, and I hope not to sound too cheesy here, but we're gonna call it chasing your tail, right? And I'm guilty of it too, right? Because we saw him ride good, so everybody puts him in first, and now Jason Anderson comes out with a first in Oakland, and I am guilty of this. And you guys are gonna find out about my picks later, so I'm just gonna say it now. I do have Jason Anderson in first for my next pick, but you know. Chasing our tail a little bit may not work because the pack is so stacked right now, right? So Jason Anderson may have gotten first this week, just like Kenny got first last week, and now Kenny was in 13th. So it just goes to show, you know, that nobody knows what's going to happen, and it's such a crapshoot. I mean, who knows? Dylan Ferrandis, Malcolm Stewart, Justin Barcia might win it and might take it this week. Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's like when I was thinking about the picks, I'm like Sexton. I'm like at the same time, I'm like, who knows? You know, he can be, you know, get fifth, a sixth. I'm like thinking, like, damn, like, is Tomac gonna ever come back and show that speed he did a few years ago? And even before, like, when he won his title, I think he didn't look the same as the previous years. But yeah, he looked really good before that, and then he got that title. And then now, like, he looked really good in qualifying, though, so I'm not really too worried. But yeah,
I gotta ask, man, what do you think of the Yamaha blue on Eli Tomac? I think it looks pretty damn good.
Oh yeah, it looks real, real good. Him and Ferrandis, like, that's a really badass duo.
It's a solid team. It's a very solid team. I wouldn't be surprised if before the end of the season we see those guys, you know, leading the team, leading it as far as Yamaha. Being in the lead, so we'll see what happens. But another guy that I'm enamored with, and I just said it, I put him in my top pick for next week, but Jason Anderson, man, I cannot get over how solid that guy looks on that Kawasaki. It looks like a whole new, it looks like the old Jason Anderson, if you want me to be real. You know, he just doesn't seem as tight. He seemed loosened up, and he looks like he's riding that bike so much faster than he did that Husky. I don't know if you agree with me. That's my opinion, but I just think he looks flawless on that thing.
Oh, yeah, he looks really good, and I'm kind of surprised just the fact that everyone just praises the Huskies, you know, Gas and KTMs. Those bikes, just how amazing they are and everything, and no offense to the Kawasaki at all, because they've proven what they can do with Tomac and Filippotto and stuff over the years, but him making that move, if it was the other way around, maybe he'll get he was a previous champion back in 2018, but, like, going from Husky to Kawasaki, I don't think people were really expecting it at all, and especially to be at round two and, you know, get that win. I'm really curious to see how many people actually picked them in their fantasy picks, because I don't think it'll be that many people actually.
Yeah.
Open.
I hear you, man. I personally, I don't know what I am. I'm a Kawasaki fan too, so you know, I've already said it. I'm a Roczen. I like Roczen. His riding style, his ability. I'm a Kawasaki guy. That's what I grew up racing. I grew up riding Kawis, and I'm a dedicated Kawi guy. And I can't help it. I see Jason Anderson on that bike, and for whatever reason, it just looks like that guy rides that bike better than I've seen a lot of people ride him.
Yeah, he's looking really good, and I was thinking about, actually heard a couple things on Instagram. They're talking about who's the number one guy, and you know, when it comes to teams, you know, there's no really number one or two guy, because they're both getting the same equipment. They're both, you know, the teams want both of them to win. Like, let's say, for example, Roczen and Sexton, like, they both are capable of winning.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to treat Roczen any different.
Yeah.
Special treatment. There actually was back in JGR. I think 09 it was, with Millsaps and Bubba there when he was on in JGR Yamaha there. But anyways, like, right now, like, thinking about the Kawasaki, you'd think that if there was number one rider, it would be Adam, you know, before the injury. But now we go thinking, like, oh, Anderson's really, you know, stepping up and looking really good. And even if Adam was completely healthy, you know, I think it would, you know, we'd still be talking about Anderson a lot too.
Right. No, absolutely. Can we park for a minute on Malcolm Stewart? Like he is in it this season, and we have to talk about his little argument there with Marvin Musquin. And let's talk, Malcolm Stewart and how well he's doing. I am just super impressed. I'm so hopeful that he's gonna do really well this year. He's already doing much better. I don't know if it was the team change, what it was, but man, does he look good. He's aggressive, he's smooth. I'm super excited to see where he's going. And it seems like Marvin Musquin, since he came back from that injury, is not the same Marvin Musquin we've seen, that technician on the track. We don't see that as much anymore. What's your opinion on those two? And then we'll get into their little argument.
Both of them I think are really interesting topics, because Malcolm have been bouncing around and having Supercross only deals for a while, which is really unfortunate because he was always great in outdoors. It seems like forever racing outdoors, which is cool that he's racing it this year again. But going back to that, he's on a new team, and I think he's getting the tools he needs to have the win, and or just to be up there and battling for the top three. But yeah, he's looking really good. So hopefully he can, settle down with Husky and not be moving around to every other team. And because I believe it's going to take a while to get used to a team. I'm no rider, professional rider at all, but I'm just, thinking it. I think it'd be hard to bounce around not only different teams but different manufacturers as well. So with that, he looked really good in Anaheim. Had the fastest time for a while, and then he had that Superman though, so a little sketchy.
Yeah.
Entertained us all. Got one of those in the one of those posts of that in my DMs by a couple different people, so it was quite funny. But between that, he just looked really good, and that move with Marvin, that was kind of weird. Like Marvin really ran it up in the inside there, but you'd think that Malcolm would, kind of back off there. But I don't know if he just didn't see him or what, because I was trying to like kept on replaying it, and it's like kind of Marvin did really go in the inside, but Malcolm was really committed to going around that corner.
I take Malcolm's comment. He was right in my opinion. It's like we both would have had podium. I think he said we both would have had podium, bro. We both would have been on the podium. So it's heads up riding. It is Supercross. Anything can happen. I mean, that just proves it right there, all in itself. But I'm just really hopeful that Malcolm keeps it together and doesn't get tied up with other riders, because I want to see him do really well this year. I'm super excited to see that if it happens. So.
Definitely want to see him and Marvin do really good, and that's
Ooh.
Ricky Carmichael's number one rule, or if it's not number one, it's up to take someone else out. Don't take yourself out in the process of doing so. So with that being it's if you're really going after Malcolm there, and if you're Marvin going after Malcolm, you really kind of screwed yourself over as well. So that really sucks. But with Marvin, I don't know, he's getting older, and he has a Supercross only deal, which is interesting for sure. So I'm just curious to see if there's more pressure on him, and see how that plays out this year. But and between that and the new bike, like he looked really good at Paris, but he went back to the old bike for Paris. But the word on the the rumor on the street is that KTM is really freaking good, and it's a lot better in the whoops as well. So yeah, just
Yeah.
I thought him and Webb would come out swinging a little bit.
Cooper Webb, man, he's a sleeper. You can't ever, ever, ever go to sleep when that guy's around. I'm telling you what.
It out.
He will he's that guy that I think is he's consistent. He can be in the back of the pack, and it's funny how you're watching the race and you don't see much of Cooper Webb right until the end, and then all of a sudden it's like holy crap, right now he's second in the point standings, which obviously point standings is a matter of consistency in the end, right? Justin Barcia hasn't had a win yet, but where is he right now? He is first place in the standings because Roczen, right, that roller coaster we talked about, Roczen can have a first, He got a 13th as well. That puts him in, you know, fifth place for the overall standings. So it's a roller coaster. And the name of the game is, in the end, when you want to talk about winning a championship, it's all about consistency. So Cooper Webb is that sleeper that literally didn't, he hasn't gotten much airtime. He has gotten quite a bit, but not as much as others. And, but you know, he comes in and right at the end, he's making positions and getting up on the podium. And that's what it takes to win a Supercross championship. So don't ever count him out.
Oh, definitely. And even though he hasn't been putting in the best results, I think he was sick before Anaheim 1-2. So just, you know, having that all in play. But even though he's not having the best results, when I'm picking fantasy, I'm like, man, he can win any, you know, given night. Like, he's that one guy that is, he is a complete badass. Like, just mentally, he's the strongest, I think, for sure, in the field. And just what he's willing to do and stuff. And yeah, even though he's second in points, which is really great. Yeah, like, no one's really talked about him on the broadcast at all. It's all,
yeah,
anyone else but him, like on Barcia or whatever. But
yeah, and let's face it, he's taken second in Anaheim A1, and then he took what did he take? He took seventh in Oakland. So and a second and a seventh. Clearly, you know, with the way that everything's been going, and the fact that everybody's been all over the board, because it is that stacked, it equates to a second place in the overall standings. I mean, let's face it, Barcia, he's first place in the overall standings. He took third and third, 3-3, and that gets him to the top, you know. So it's still such a crapshoot. That's why, you know, again, I'm gonna say this again. For those of you that don't have an RM Fantasy SX that are listening to this right now, get one and join our group, because, again, you can make some serious points up, because, truthfully, it's in the hands of the gods every weekend. So,
yeah, like, I think a lot of people every year, like, if they didn't join right away before Anaheim, they're like, well, I'm one or two, three rounds behind you guys. It's like, that really doesn't matter at all. It kind of does in previous years, you know, for sure. Yeah. This year, all of us could be picking Tomac to win, and, you know, it could be Anderson winning, you know, and you can really make a point. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. If you guys missed the first two rounds, I really don't think that matters too much in a 17-round season.
Certainly. Very good, man. I do have to wrap up around now. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to hit on before we took off, but I do have stuff I got to get to. But I love talking to you, man. I love talking to everybody, or love talking and hearing what the listeners have to say. So if there's anything else you wanted to talk about, let me know.
Just wanted to make our picks for the podium. I know we posted them later last week, so I want to make them in the podcast. We're probably going to change them for the week, but I want to, you know, make that post Saturday. But I want to make them right now as well, every week.
I'll make a deal right now with all the listeners. I'm going to put my posts on, or I'm going to put my picks on here, and I'll never change them. I'm just going to keep them as is. So if you want to copy them, don't join my group, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to pick them, pick your honest picks, is what I would say. Is just pick your picks and, you know, go from there, man, because I'm not perfect. I'm not in first place. So obviously you have to tweak them a little bit.
Yeah, and last week I posted the winners from all of our picks, but going back to last year, we picked the top three for each class, so I kind of want to go back to that. But
okay,
yeah.
So you want to just do the top three, or do you want to do the top five and wild card? What do you want to put on here on the podcast?
Just top three on here. It's
okay, cool. I'm done with that.
I think on the last minute thing, I was thinking that right before we started. But yeah,
okay.
I can go if you want to.
Sure.
Starting off in the 250 class, go away from Christian Craig. He's been looking really good, as we talked about on here. So him and getting the W, Hunter Lawrence in second. You know, hopefully he can get a better start. And then I have that's gonna be hard. Haymaker or Marchbanks? I kind of feel like Marchbanks is gonna creep up there, but or even Shimoda. But I'm going with Haymaker for third. So that's Craig, Lawrence, and Haymaker for my top three class. Round three.
All right, man. Well, I actually Wrote mine down before we started, and it's funny. Great minds think alike, man. We aren't all the way there, but we're pretty damn close. My top pick I have for 250 West Coast: Christian Craig, Hunter Lawrence, and Joe Shimoda getting third. So you almost said him, but you didn't. I'm really hopeful that Joe Shimoda gets it, man. I want to see that kid come back from that little whoop out he had there. I want to see him win. I want to see him get on the podium. Really, really bad. So I'm going to put him there.
No, for
I
sure.
I think he's got what it takes.
He's been looking really smooth and consistent. He's been looking like he's riding really mature. Not like he's only 20, but old for the PBD class, I guess. But he's looking really good. You know.
Yep. But, absolutely. You want me to put? You want me to take my top three on the 450s?
Yeah, you can kick it off. You know.
All right, so for first place, I've already said it one, or I've said it a couple times now, but Jason Anderson, I've got him in first. Second place, I got to go with my boy Ken Roczen. I want to see him come back swinging into this next main event. And I am going to pit in third. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think he's due. I'm going to go with Dylan France.
Okay, so I'm sitting here staring at the results from, I think this is Anaheim 1, just looking at all the riders that I don't know to pick. Oh, my God. Going into San Diego, I feel like I want to pick Tomei, but he hasn't been up there in a while. But
do you, man?
San Diego, I'm going to have to go with Cooper Webb, getting the first W of the season for him on that new KTM. Second place, Chase Sexton. I'm looking to rebound after a bad round two. And then in third place, I'll have Eli Tomac making his first podium appearance in this season.
I love it. Neither of us are the same.
Yeah, so let's see if well, you're not sure you said, but I probably will. So I guess
we'll yeah, I'm gonna keep mine solid. But again, like I said earlier, with to everybody, the fact that I've seen so many people, and I'm one of them, is where I watch qualifying, I'll change my picks, and then I'm regretting it later because it's like, oh no, I shouldn't have changed them. And that's, you know, so I've just decided myself, like, once I pick, I'm done. So I sit there for quite a bit and I look at my picks and I go, oh, is this what I really want? And I go, you know what? Yep, lock it in, and I'm done. It's kind of like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Final answer, you know. So
yeah, it's kind of cool too. If you tie with someone, you would get the advantage of them if you, you know, made your picks earlier on in the week.
Yep, absolutely. That's a good point to make. You know, if you make the pick, or if you and somebody else have the same exact picks and you pick before they do, it timestamps your pick, and therefore whoever was the first one to pick actually gets the advantage. So.
Yep. Yeah, I guess we'll see how this plays out with San Diego, but it should be a good one no matter what happens in, you know, both classes.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Ezra, man, as always. Can't wait for the next show.
And that's a wrap. Thank you guys again for listening to today's episode. Stay tuned for our future episodes. Like we said earlier on the podcast, we plan on having at least one a week, breaking down each Supercross round and going into the summer for the outdoors. And yeah, stay tuned for that. And if you haven't followed us on social media already, I'd really appreciate it if you'd go on Instagram and give us a follow. You can find our podcast page on there at the Moto247 Show. Then our main page is on there as well at Moto.247. So again, thank you guys for listening. Peace out.